The BBC presents Guilty Party. A problem in crime detection, in which you are invited to match your wits with a panel of experts, John Arlott, F.R. Buckley, and Robert Fabian. First of all, you will hear the crime play, Action for Libel. The panel will then decide on a line of investigation and cross-examine the suspects, who give unscripted answers to their questions. But first of all, here is Joe McCready, private investigator.
This is the case of Lance Prouty, a novelist. Looking back on it, I find it highly incredible. But here are the facts. You judge for yourselves. It began when we met Mr. Prouty by appointment, Inspector Galloway and I, in an out-of-the-way pub not far from Prouty's home.
Now, just what you want us to do, Mr. Prouty?
Well, I don't want you to think I'm afraid.
You must be afraid of something, or we wouldn't be here.
I want you to come back with me to my house and stay until tomorrow morning, as I explained on the phone.
Because you're afraid of being alone, that it?
I've been threatened that at midnight something dreadful will happen to me.
How have you been threatened? By letter?
No, by telephone. Disguised voices, whispers, all telling me that it's deadline midnight. Melodramatic rubbish, I know.
You're a writer, you should know.
But all the same, there's a purpose behind these threats.
You got any idea who's making them?
Oh, yes. There are three people who hate me and would like to see me dead. It could be any one of them, or all three working together.
Presumably they have a reason for hating you.
Yes. Let me explain. I've just written a book, published a week ago. You may have read about it. Very well reviewed, although I do say it myself. It's called Open Village. Rather a neat title. Not Open City, but Open Village. Neat, don't you think?
Oh, very. But why should this book cause you to receive threats?
Well, I'm afraid that three of the characters in the novel do faintly resemble three people in this village. But as you realize, people are the raw material of a writer's craft. One creates one's characters from the people one meets.
But if they're easily identifiable with real persons, you're asking for trouble, surely. Action for libel and so on.
The people concerned would have difficulty in proving that they were being depicted in my book. And even more difficulty in finding the money to fight a libel action.
These three characters, have they been painted pretty blackly in your book?
Obviously, in a work of fiction, there are blacks and whites so far as characters are concerned. It so happens that two of the characters are shown as immoral individuals. One is a woman schoolteacher, the other a jobbing gardener. The third principal character is a figure of fun and ridicule. The ex-major in the Home Guard who won't relinquish his title. You must have met the type.
Never seen a shot fired in anger, but insist on being called Major. What?
Exactly. Well, it so happens that in this village, there are three people a trifle similar.
What do you call a trifle similar?
Well, they happen to be a woman schoolteacher, a jobbing gardener, an ex-Home Guard major.
And the name of this village is Upton Cross. What's the name of the village in your novel?
Downton Cross.
I begin to understand. You weren't exactly subtle, were you?
My novel is a work of fiction. The characters are all fictional. It says so in the preface. If any reader should find that the cap fits, well, is the novelist to blame?
The three people concerned obviously think so. What are their names?
Major Weatherby, Jane Darrell, and Johnny Black.
And Johnny Black being the jobbing gardener?
Yes. Well, he's a sort of jack of all trades, to be precise. In fact, he worked for me up until 2 days ago. Acted as a general factotum for about 4 hours a day. He used to be a batman. I found him very satisfactory. Far better than a woman servant. Until this upset about the novel.
You live alone?
Yes. I'm a man of very simple pleasures. Just my writing and my collection of old English glass and potteryware. They're my only real interests.
Well, this upset about the novel. Why in particular did it upset Johnny Black?
He thought he recognized himself in Jane Darrell. In my book, the jobbing gardener and the schoolteacher are having a rather unsavory affair.
And you think that something has been planned for tonight? Some form of revenge?
Yes. So, gentlemen, I'd like your company. I'm prepared to pay handsomely for it. It's now 9 o'clock. I suggest you dine with me at the Swan Inn, where they serve a most excellent meal, and then we go on to my home and commence our vigil. Are you agreeable?
Well, whether you pay Mr. McCready anything is entirely up to you. I'm prepared to come along in my official capacity, but I'd enjoy the dinner. We haven't eaten since midday.
After an excellent meal, we got back to Mr. Prouty's house about 11:30. It was an outstanding white building, which looked very attractive by the light of the full moon. It stood on a small hill and was obviously quite a landmark. The only thing that spoiled the view was the railway line, which ran behind it, and, I would have thought, uncomfortably close to it from a writer's point of view. Anyway, we sat in his beautifully furnished sitting room and sipped brandy while we waited for the witching hour.
I know it's ridiculous to be jittery and nervous, but somehow I can't help it. I have a feeling of impending disaster. My imagination working overtime again, no doubt. Oh, excuse me. Funny time to phone me. Hello?
Rum set up, Inspector?
Ray.
What's that?
Can you smell gas?
Now, what you...
Funny you should say that. Yes, I did notice a faint
now,
trace of gas.
Johnny, listen to me. Johnny! Oh.
Now what?
That was Johnny Black. Rather drunk, phoning from the Crown and Cushion. Said he intended to have his own back for making him and Jane a laughingstock. Then he rang off.
Did he say anything about midnight tonight?
No, that was all he said.
Can you smell gas, Mr. Prouty?
Why, no. Can't be any gas. Only recently I went all electric. I don't use gas anymore.
Yet the fittings are still there, I see.
I didn't have them taken down in case of emergency. Well, the gas is switched off at the meter. There's none coming into the house. That's odd.
What?
Well, the grandfather clock usually keeps perfect time.
It does tonight, dead on.
Then the mail train must be late. It's usually right on the dot of midnight when it passes here.
Having the railway so near must be a nuisance. The noise, I mean.
Oh, I'm used to it.
Tell me, did Johnny Black have the freedom of the house when he worked here?
Oh, yes. Except for my study, in which I keep my precious collection of glass and china.
He never went in there?
Once every morning, to dust the shelves and display cabinets. I didn't allow him to touch the specimens. Only I did that.
I see. What are your normal hours of working?
Me? Oh, early mornings and late evenings. Except on Wednesdays, as tonight. Every Wednesday, I have a night off and dine out of the Swan.
Oh, well, it's past midnight. Nothing's happened. Somebody's been pulling your leg. But I can still smell gas.
Ah, here she comes. Not very late, but still late.
Good Lord, what happened?
My study. My collection. That's where the explosion was.
Where?
Quick, right at the end of the passage. Last door on the right.
They've done it. They've done what they threatened. They've had their revenge.
Come on, go.
Right, Inspector.
Well, door's locked. That's surprising. I'd have thought it would have been blown out. Here, let me.
Oh, no, Inspector. Just look. £5,000 worth of glass and china. Irreplaceable. The vandals, the wicked vandals.
Listen. There is a gas escape.
It certainly is. It's coming from that light fitment and from the gas fire there.
But I don't understand. The gas is cut off at the main.
You mean it was cut off at the main? It isn't now.
And the inspector was right. At the meter box, which was situated in the front porch of the house, we found the gas had definitely been switched on again. Fortunately, the main force of the explosion had been reduced because the French windows of the study, being the weakest point, had blown out altogether. All the glass and china specimens were smashed beyond hope of repair. Inspector Galloway and I decided the only possible thing to do was to interview the three people Mr. Prouty suspected. We took Major Weatherby first. He lived in a house about a quarter of a mile away from Prouty's, and he came to the door in dressing gown and pajamas.
I really do object to this sort of thing, you know. With the next army man, I'm used to night alarms and so on. But this is peacetime, damn it.
No, we must apologize, sir, but we're investigating a very unfortunate occurrence at Mr. Lance Prouty's residence.
Oh, come in, come in. Don't stand on the doorstep, man.
Thanks.
You may be dead for the night here. I'm not. Prouty, did you say? Well, what's happened?
An explosion wrecked his study. Might have wrecked him, too, but he wasn't there at the time.
I say, all that lovely glass and china. Great Scott, there's a devil of a shame. Some of his pieces were unique, you know. Bad show. What caused the explosion?
A gas from a gas fire and light fitting, apparently.
Gas? The fellow changed over to electricity. Didn't have any gas.
When were you last in his study, Major?
Oh, a couple of days ago. Had a heck of a row with him. Fellow lampooned me in his new novel. Tried to make me a laughing stock. I could have thrashed him then and there. Don't know how I kept my temper.
Do you know Miss Jane Darrell?
Of course, nice girl. Probably liable to her, too. Matter of fact, we had a council walk till nearly midnight tonight. She comes round here every Wednesday, you know. I've got a rifle ranger joining the house. She's very keen. Fine sporting girl. Very fond of her.
And Johnny Black?
Oh, Johnny. We all know Johnny. He's a territorial, same as myself. He and young Jane are keen about each other. Funny, really. Pretty different backgrounds they got. Good man, though. Got guts. Glad he left Prouty's employ. I can find him better work than that. But I'm sorry about Prouty's collection. Hate to see things of beauty destroyed. Not sorry on Prouty's account, though. Serve the fellow right. Anyway, he's insured, all right.
Have you phoned Mr. Prouty tonight or at any other time?
Certainly not. Don't get any more contact with him than I can help. Ridiculed me in that confounded novel. Said I was a chocolate soldier or some such rubbish. Damned impertinence. One's horse whipping.
You keep rifles here, Major?
Oh, yes, all sorts. Quite a collection. Why?
You're a good shot.
Pretty good, I'd say. Care to come down and have a shot on the range sometime? Welcome. Just a minute. What are all these questions? You don't think I had anything to do with the explosion at Prouty, surely? Haven't left home all evening.
You didn't hear the explosion yourself?
What, with the confounded railway running alongside the house? Can't hear yourself speak when an express goes through. Written umpteen letters to the railway people and to my MP. Can't get anything done. Damn disgrace.
Does Miss Jane Darrell live nearby?
Jane? About a quarter mile from me.
On the way towards Mr. Prouty's house?
No, opposite direction.
Did she come here by car?
No, she's only a country school teacher, you know. Doesn't run to a car. Besides, she likes walking. Nice girl. Very fond of her.
And what time did she leave?
Oh, about 10 to 12, I'd say. She likes to get through the level crossing up the road before they close it for the mail train.
You say you had a council of war with her?
Yes, wanted to start an action for libel against this Prouty fellow. Well, you know how it is. Matter of sons.
Oh, quite, quite. Well, thank you, Major.
Not at all. Any time.
Oh, before we go, perhaps you'd give us Miss Darrell's address.
Oh, of course. Get a bit of paper and write it down.
Awfully sorry to disturb you, Miss Darrell.
Oh, it's quite all right. I never go to sleep until after 1 o'clock. What can I do to help you?
Did you hear an explosion round about midnight tonight?
An explosion? No, can't say I did. Why?
Mr. Prouty's study and his valuable collection was blown to smithereens at that time.
No. Not that lovely collection of his. Oh, but what... what sheer vandalism.
Just what Mr. Prouty said. How well did you know him, Miss Darrell?
Not as well as he would like me to have known him.
You mean he made passes at you?
In my spare time, I'd help him catalogue his collection. Until he found that Johnny Black and I were fond of each other. Then he sacked me. And now he's libeled us in his novel. Oh, charming man, Mr. Prouty. Such a chivalrous gentleman.
When were you last in his study?
The day after the publication of his book. That's a week ago.
You bought a copy right away.
Oh, don't be silly. He sent us complimentary copies. He didn't mean us to miss anything. But what caused the explosion? What happened?
That's what we're trying to figure out. The room was full of gas, that's all we know.
But Mr. Prouty was all electric. He was scared of gas because of possible explosions. I tried to reassure him.
How?
Well, I explained that for any really big explosion, you'd want to have a mixture of gas and air. About 75% air and 25% gas. That means for any really shattering explosion, you'd need to work out the cubic capacity of the room, the rate of inflow of the gas in cubic feet, and so just fix the right time for the spark to ignite the mixture. Oh, it's quite a job.
Miss Darrell, what subjects do you teach at school?
Well, my special subjects are physics and chemistry and mathematics, naturally.
Would you say Johnny Black was a good mathematician?
Are you being funny?
No.
Johnny hasn't very much education. That's why Prouty sneered at us. At me, especially, for liking him.
Miss Darrell, on which side of the level crossing were you when the mail train went through?
Oh, on this side. I left the Major's house in time to get through. Oh, they're so long-winded on these country level crossings. Close the gates 10 minutes beforehand and go back to bed, I think. Then reopen them when they think about it.
Are you a good shot, Miss Darrell?
Getting better, thanks to the Major. He's mad keen.
What sort of weapons do you fire up there?
Oh, all sorts. Maybe I shouldn't have said that, but he borrows them from his territorial unit.
What about ammunition?
Oh, he's got plenty of all sorts of ammunition. It's really most interesting.
Yes, I'm sure it is. Especially, I should imagine, to the army authorities. Well, come on, Joe. Let's see what friend Johnny Black has to say for himself.
Oh, what a time to cross-examine a bloke.
Now, pull yourself together, Mr. Black.
It's all very well, but I've had a bit of a booze up tonight.
Drowning yourself?
Yeah, that's Twine Prouty in his book. I'd like to make a bonfire of all his books and put him on top of it. Oh, poor little Janie. And her a school teacher, too. Could ruin her. Jealous he was, just plain jealous.
You phoned and threatened him tonight?
Yeah, from this very pub, just before midnight. I was a bit tight.
Drinking late, weren't you?
Well, my brother's pub, I live here. No license restrictions for little Johnny. I'm a resident.
Listen, tonight Mr. Prouty's study and collection were blown sky high.
And Mr. Prouty with him?
No.
Oh, pity. How did that happen, then?
Well, that's what we're trying to investigate. When were you last in Mr. Prouty's study?
Me? Ooh... 2 days ago, I dusted the room, then had a blazing row with him and walked out.
Mr. Black, why do you think Mr. Prouty was so vindictive towards you and Miss Darrell?
Oh, that's easy. Because he fancied Janie himself and took the needle when she preferred me to him.
I see. I suppose you're familiar with Mr. Prouty's regular habits.
Yeah. Why?
You know he spends every Wednesday evening away from home?
Yes, he had dinner at the Swan.
Could you have got into his house in his study while he was away tonight?
No, not a chance.
There were French windows in his study.
Bolted and barred on the inside. No, I can't see anybody getting into that house and blowing things up. Except Prouty himself.
You're very friendly with Major Weatherby?
Oh, yes. Nice bloke, the Major. I shoot up at his rifle range quite often. Oh, he's a gent. He couldn't have got in the house and done it.
Why not? He'd know all about explosives.
And was it explosives that were used, then?
Matter of fact, no. Might have been gas.
But Prouty didn't use gas. He switched to electricity.
That's right. Gas was laid on, though. And there was a main cut-off switch, wasn't there?
Yes. In the meter box by the front porch.
Mr. Black... if you wanted to blow up a room full of gas, how would you go about it?
From as far away as possible, mate.
Just what we thought. Well, thank you, Mr. Black. Well, Joe, what do you think?
Now, our three experts, having heard the facts, have the right to ask questions of the people concerned. The completely unrehearsed questions will be answered without any script or help by the persons interrogated, and they must tell the truth, except in the case of the guilty party, who can and will try to get out of difficulty if he or she is able to. Over now to John Arlott.
Before we turn to your suspects, Ted Mason, I wonder if we could just ask you one or two questions. What's the distance from Johnny Black's pub to Prouty's house?
The Crown and Cushion, you mean?
Yes.
About a mile.
And have the telephone exchange done anything about checking on these alleged threatening calls that Prouty received?
Well, Prouty did contact the exchange. If you ask him, he'll tell you what they told him.
All right, we'll talk to him. Thank you, Ted. And I wonder then if we might start off with Mr. Prouty. How often has Major Weatherby visited you recently?
Recently, about 3 times, since the publication of my novel, and each time was most abusive.
When was the last time?
About 2 days ago.
Did he then come into your study?
Yes.
Was he at any time left alone in your study?
Not to my knowledge, certainly.
Did he know his way about well in your house?
Well, he'd been on one or two social calls. In fact, he knew the house rather well because he was the estate agent through whom I purchased it.
Oh, now, that meter in the front porch, was it on the outside porch or an inside?
Yes, in the outside porch.
Was the key to the meter in sight?
It wasn't locked.
Or was it boxed in? I mean,
it was a little cupboard with one of those little catches on.
But not locked at all?
Not locked, no.
When was the last time before midnight that you went into your study?
During the morning.
Did you always keep it locked?
Oh, yes, because I valued my precious collection.
And you locked it on this occasion when you left?
Almost certainly.
When was the last time Miss Darrell was alone in your study?
Well, I dismissed her when I found out her association with Johnny, before I even wrote my novel, and she's not been in the building since.
How many of these threatening telephone calls did you receive?
I've had 3.
Did you tell anyone else, the telephone exchange or the police, for instance, that you'd received these calls?
I reported to the telephone exchange in hoping they would be able to trace the caller. Without success.
Understood. Well, perhaps now we could speak to Major Weatherby.
Well, Major Weatherby, look, was Miss Darrell or Johnny Black able to have free access to your rifle range and the ammunition?
Yes, up to a point.
Well, up to what point?
Well, I mean, it wasn't... it was locked at night, of course, last night, but if I was using it or they were likely to be coming up, they knew where the key was and they could unlock it themselves.
Was it possible for them to borrow a firearm or ammunition without you knowing at all?
Well, it's possible, yes.
Did they ever take one away?
No.
As far as you know?
As far as I know, no.
Was the rifle range and the armory always kept locked at night?
Oh, yes.
And not during the day?
No. Well, I mean, not maybe locked, but the key was hanging up naked.
Hanging up nearby?
Yeah. Anyway, it was.
Now, you said you had all sorts of weapons, automatic weapons?
No, all automatic weapons, rifles.
Only rifles. Any time fuses in the armory?
No.
Any tracer bullets?
I don't think so. I may have had some sometime in the past, but so long ago, I can't remember when I last used them.
Any other sort of weapon that could ignite gas?
No, not as far as I know.
What time on this night did Miss Darrell come to your house?
About 8 o'clock, usual time.
And were the pair of you together then until she left at 10 to 12?
Quite correct, sir, yes.
Good. Thank you, Major. Perhaps now we could speak to Miss Darrell then.
Do you know Mr. Prouty's house well, Miss Darrell?
Well, yes, of course. I used to go there to help him quite a lot one time.
Did you know it was still piped for gas?
Oh, yes, I knew it had been left in. Yes, he left it in case of emergency electricity cuts or anything like that.
Then tell me, why did you at once say to the other officers that there was no gas there?
Well, I meant that the gas was turned off and he had electricity put in. He had this stupid fear of explosions.
Yeah. And when you heard that the study had been blown up, that's all they said. Why did you say that was vandalism?
Well, I knew the odds on there being an accident with gas were so very remote that I thought it must have been deliberate on somebody's part.
And that is why you assumed that someone had done it deliberately.
Yes, indeed.
Do you know where the Major keeps all his rifles and ammunition?
Oh, yes, yes. I go there every week for a shoot.
And you could get at them?
Yes, indeed.
Where do you live?
Oh, about a quarter of a mile away from the Major's house, further up the line.
Do you live alone? Or?
Yes, quite alone.
And what time did you get home this night?
Oh, it must have been easily by midnight. I left the Major's house at 10 to, just before 10 to. I must have been well in the house by midnight.
Nobody see you go in, of course?
Oh, no, not at that time of night. No, nobody about.
Did you see Johnny Black that evening?
No, I didn't, no.
Is your house on the telephone?
Yes.
And is there a kiosk near the school?
No, there isn't. Not very near.
Have you the use of a telephone at school?
Oh, yes, in emergencies. We can always use the phone.
Thank you, Miss Darrell. Perhaps you'd ask Mr. Black to come in.
Well, oh, Johnny, look, how did you spend the evening before the explosion?
Well, I went on a pub crawl, actually.
On the pub crawl?
Yeah.
What did you do after you phoned Mr. Pratty?
Phoned Mr. Pratty? I yawned a few times and had a fag and went to bed.
Look, have you any alibi for the time between the phone call and midnight?
Alibi? What do you mean?
Well, I mean somebody who could prove that you were where you
I was in my brother's pub, if that's what you mean.
Was he there?
Yeah, he was round and about.
Have you got a rifle of your own?
No, I use Majors, you know.
You don't have one of the Majors in the pub, I mean?
No, not usually.
Did you have that night?
No.
You were drunk when you rang Prouty, were you?
Well, happy, you know.
Yes, I'm sorry.
About booze.
There's our signal to end the interrogation, I'm afraid. Well, if the Major was never alone in the study...
Yeah, but... It could have been turned down accidentally, or... the novelist could have turned his back on him without noticing it, you know.
Well, you'd sooner stick to the clue than to Prouty, would you?
Yes, I would.
If it's true that Prouty was solvent and was comfortably off, as he says?
Yes.
The other clue is the only thing that I can see.
Well, Ted, we thought we'd got a clue. We thought the clue was the Major, who knew that the explosion took place when the train was going past. He revealed this to Galloway and MacReady. He knew that the explosion happened when the midnight mail was going past. That was the only clue we could see in it.
That was the clue, actually.
And we plumped for him.
Yes.
We can see that the two chaps in the study can have been turned on at any time, perhaps weeks before the night, and you can still produce the gas saturation to get the explosion by turning on the key at the meter in the porch.
At what time?
Well, at a worked out time, presumably while Prouty and the other two are out at dinner.
I thought you had asked me that question before, how long it would take to get the correct explosive mixture. You didn't ask me. It's important.
We didn't ask you this, no. But the fact is that anybody except Prouty can switch that gas on, and we decided that it was probably ignited by the Major with a shot from a firearm into the gas-filled room.
From his
We scrubbed out the girl, Ted, because she gave us too much technicalities about the gas and stuff.
But she might have told them to the Major, however.
The technicalities were important because they established the fact, which is a technical fact, that the best explosion with gas has to take place when there is a certain proportion of air and gas mixed.
25.
That's right. And in order to get the correct explosive force in that particular room, it would have been necessary to switch on the mains tap at 10 o'clock. In other words, it would have taken 2 hours. At 10 o'clock, the Major and Miss Darrell were together. Were they not?
Yeah,
right.
So neither the Major nor Miss Darrell could switch on the mains tap.
Ah, but they could if they only switched it half on. Then it's 4 hours. Only a quarter on, then it's 8 hours.
Yeah.
Oh, this takes a little bit of...
Ah.
Well,
yeah.
Really.
How far they decide to turn it on.
That's why we
got this much.
Well, you've got the system, and you have, in fact, got the method of igniting the gas, which was...
Well, that's because we weren't too certain.
Yes, for firing a tracer. And he didn't actually say that he hadn't got any tracers.
No, he didn't.
I saw it. They fired a tracer into the room at the correct explosive time, so to speak.
Yes, and the French window, black French window on a white house, which
exactly
shot like a large bullseye.
In the moonlight, I told you. And the train coming past would kill the sound of the shot, which I wanted to do. I think you got about 90%. The only thing is that it was Johnny Black who switched on the mains tap.
Well, it was a collaboration, then.
It was a collaboration, yes. But it had to be, because Johnny Black was the only person who was alone in the room when he was in the house dusting. Yeah. But you've come up with a very logical idea of putting the switch on half or quarter and so adjusting the time that way. Very clever, that. I think I'll give you 90% this week.
John Arlott, F.R. Buckley and Robert Fabian were the panel in Action for Libel, a problem in crime detection from the BBC series Guilty Party. The play was written by Edward J. Mason and the program produced by Tony Schrein.